Behind the seeming randomness of the calamities that befall us lies the purpose of God. Only heaven may reveal that. It all comes down to this. As we run the race of life, we must learn to trust the God whose purposes we can't understand. That's the lesson of the book of Job. Stay with us as we near the end of a long series seeking the answers to the great why questions of life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series from the life of Job, a series we've entitled God, Why Me? Listen now as he brings more of his final message, the purpose of it all. Job's sufferings had one benefit he could not have imagined.
Job had no idea that for 4,000 years, Sunday school teachers would be teaching his book. People would be reading about his story. Sermons would be preached on it. He had no idea that this was going to happen. And all that because of the struggle that he went through. A river of blessing and encouragement has gone to the whole world. So first of all, he has a new conception of God. Secondly, having come through the trial, he now has a new ministry for God. And thirdly, he has new prosperity from God. Notice it says in verse 10, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." By the way, did you notice that? It says that the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. Oftentimes it is in the process of being reconciled to others, even those who have spoken ill of us, as did these three friends. It is at that moment that when we are willing to reconcile even with our enemies, that the blessing of God comes. So notice it says that after he prayed for his friends, God restored the fortune of Job, and he did so by giving him twofold. Now there's some irony here, because in the Old Testament, when a thief stole something, he was frequently supposed to return what he had stolen twofold. Now we know that God can't steal. We already learned that in a previous message, because everything that he owns is his. But God is restoring Job, and he's giving him twice of everything, indicating that since he had lost it all, he now is getting it all back twofold. Notice it says, verse 12, "And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He began with 7,000 sheep. He now has 14,000. 3,000 camels become 6,000. 500 yokes of oxen and 500 female donkeys now become 1,000 of each of those categories." And so God says, as far as your wealth is concerned, you now get double, which I think is a pretty good rate of return when you stop to think of the fact that the book of Job may have taken place in the period of a year or two, or maybe in a matter of months. Well, now let's count his children. Does he get double of those too? And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Well, that's actually the very same number that he had previously. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So God did not give him 14 sons and 6 daughters, for which, incidentally, Mrs. Job may have been profoundly grateful. But I do want you to notice that even though Job has the same number of children, he still has double the number of children. Because actually, he didn't lose the first 10 children. They were only relocated. They were in heaven, and he knows that he shall be restored to them, and in heaven he shall have all 20 children. Bless him, and bless Mrs. Job. All 20 children will be there. And so God then also continues to give Job a long life. It says in verse 16, "And after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations, and Job died an old man and full of days." Now, many people have looked at this, and they have said, if Job lived 140 years after his trial, and God restored everything double, it could well be that his trial came at age 70. Now, we can't be sure about that, but that's a possibility. So if you take 140 years and you add the 70, what do you have there, Rex? What is that? Well, 210, I think. 210 years old, Job would have died, old in age and full of days. And thus endeth the book of Job. But you know what? This is not where my sermon ends. What I'd like to do is to give you three lessons now that will help us to put it all together and answer the question of the purpose of it all. How does it all come together? What is the bottom line? Number one, let us always remember that God is worthy of worship. God is always worthy of worship. Can you think back to the beginning of the book when Satan comes to God and says, well, yes, of course Job serves you because you put a hedge about him. You've given him a fine family. You have given him flocks and herds. And you are bribing him. Anybody would serve you if you are that good to them. But take it all away and he'll curse you. Because he's in it for what he can get. And you, oh God, are bribing him. That's why he is faithful. So God takes all these things away, including Job's health. And Job continues to hang in. Times of doubt, times of anger, times of frustration. But nevertheless, he keeps tracking with God, proving that there are still some people who will go on worshiping God even if there is no tangible benefit to it. I think of the words of Job who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God is always worthy of worship. Now let me ask you a question. What would have happened if Job had died, not in chapter 42, but say in chapter 32? What if he had died in the middle of his speech? What if he had died and had never seen this additional prosperity that God had given him? Would God still be worthy of worship? The answer is yes, yes, yes. Because, do you know, most of the time, we do not have such a beautiful finish ending to a life. Most of the time, we have people struck down in accidents and struck down in cancer, with cancer, or dying in concentration camps, as many believers did. And there was no beautiful ending like there is in the book of Job. And even then, God is still worthy of worship. Whether we see the end result or not, God is God, we are humans, and he is worthy to be worshiped, whether it's beneficial or not. Secondly, another important lesson is that trials are ultimately from God. Trials in the life of a believer are always ultimately from God. Do you remember in those opening chapters where we emphasized this? Oh, I know it was Satan who brought the hail. It was Satan who was given power to have lightning to strike Job's children. So it might be tempting for us to say, well, it came from the devil. Yes, it did come from the devil, but the devil was in God's hands. It was God who marked out the parameters, who said, so far and no farther. It was God who said, you may take his children, but you may not touch his life. It was God who said, you may take his health, but even then you may not touch his life. In other words, back behind the tragedy that Job experienced was still the hand of God. Yes, all of these concerns of nature, the ravages of nature, were in Satan's hands. But Satan, I shall say it, Satan is in God's hands. You've heard me quote the words of Luther, even the devil is God's devil. Now let's think about that accident on I-94. One day I was just musing in my mind regarding the contingencies in order for that to happen. The Willis family was on that highway because there was an election here in the city of Chicago, and their church was being used as a polling booth. And so they decided that this would be a good day to visit another son who was a student in a university near Milwaukee. And then you begin to think of the fact that this piece of iron could have fallen from the truck at a different point in the highway. The Willis family could have begun 60 seconds earlier or 60 seconds later, or the truck could have been in a different position in the highway, and the piece of metal itself could have flown into the ditch. There were so many different contingencies, so many different what-ifs. And yet, who is it that controls the what-ifs of life? Is it not true that as Christians we have to take all of the ifs and then we have to draw around them a circle called the providence of God and recognize that even such accidents are highly planned occurrences from the standpoint of God's sovereign intervention in the life of His children? So let us say it boldly. It was God who took the six children from the Willis family, and they themselves acknowledged that. Because God is bigger than a truck whose metal falls onto the pavement. God is bigger than having the contingency where that metal would just puncture the gas tank. God is not subject to the futility of these random events. What is random to you and to me in the life of a believer is really planned by God so that the believer can say confidently, All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You're driving along the city of Chicago. Traffic lights hinder you. The expressway is full of cars, traffic jams. There are all of these things that bother you. There are people at work that bother you. There are bosses that bother you, and there are co-workers who trouble your soul and who make life very miserable. Is God in these kinds of things? Are these just the happenstances of life that we need to endure because there's no other alternative except to endure them? Or can we take our piece of chalk and even include the providence of God around those events in the life of a believer? The answer is yes, if you have the faith to grasp it, because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, and that means all things, including injustices, trials, are ultimately from God.
This is Pastor Lutzer, and as you know, we are getting to the end of our series of messages on the book of Job. And indeed, it is very important for us to understand God's sovereignty and what lessons this book teaches us about ourselves and also about God. I need to tell you, and I speak here from personal experience, that if all that you see is a result of your hardship, if all that you see is the devil, you're going to be very discouraged. But if you see all things working together for your good as a believer, if you begin to see God even in the harsh experiences of life, you'll be able to endure them. God will grant you the grace, and He Himself will be glorified. Tune in next time as we continue this series on the book of Job.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now wrapped up part two of The Purpose of It All, the last message in his series, God, Why Me? The Story of Job. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, Why Me? When you call. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Tomorrow, a final time with Job. That's coming up on our next Running to Win.